I am so excited that you are here today. I know that your schedule is thrown off just like mine, and so I hope to not be before you long today. So if I could get everyone to stand, and as you stand, today we're going to go to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. Go to chapter 20. And I'm going to start at verse 19 just to get us started. I believe that there's a word from the Lord for us today as we close out this sermon series called Help My Unbelief. And today's sermon title is, Man, I Just Want to See It for Myself. Has anybody ever felt like, man, I just want to see for myself? Amen. So if you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. John chapter 20, verse 19, and I'm going to read out of the NLT version. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them and said, Peace be with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and in his side, and the text says that they were filled with joy, underline this, when they saw the Lord. If we can, let's go ahead and read our mission statement. If you could put that up. And if we can passionately and confidently read our statement. 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. We just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for just your awesomeness, God. God, thank you for being good, God. Thank you for being a good, good father to us, God. And thank you, God, as the song says, for never letting us down. And so, God, we come today, God, with this word that you've placed in our hearts. God, I pray that this word today falls on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts. Why, God? So that this word, God, as we hear it today, God, that it might bring back a harvest. And so, God, we just thank you for this word. And, God, here I stand, God, as your humble servant, God. God, I just have one question and one question only, God, and that is, will you wear me like a glove? Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say as you take your seat, amen. Children, you are dismissed. So if you've been tracking with us in this short sermon series that we are embarked upon right now called Help My Unbelief. And I believe that this is probably one of the most important sermon series that we could do as a church because if I would ask for a show of hands, I believe that all of us sometimes in our Christian walk, we reside at this intersection of being a believer that's struggling with unbelief. Can somebody say amen? And what we've done is we've dealt with sometimes our unbelief can be connected to unmet expectations. Like John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John had some unmet expectations. John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? Then this past week, We looked at the desperation and disappointment of a father who was struggling, and we come to find out as he cried out to Jesus and said, "Help my unbelief," what we found was that what he was really struggling with was a weakness in his faith. But I hope that you've come to see in these previous 2 weeks, and as I should communicate today, I hope that you can see that Jesus loves to respond to our weakness in faith. And Jesus doesn't respond the way that we sometimes think that he will respond. Jesus responds to our weakness in faith. He responds to our unbelief. He responds to our unmet expectations. And he responds in love. But what happens when you've been labeled throughout time, not biblically, because it's not in the Bible, but society, your friends and family have labeled you to be a person full of doubt? And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at probably one of the most famous apostles that there was, and that was the apostle of Thomas. And Thomas has this nickname of being called Doubting Thomas. I believe that Thomas, the label that Thomas has, I really believe it's incorrectly placed. I think when you look in the text and when you look at Thomas's life, you're going to see that Thomas really wasn't filled with doubt, but there was one thing that Thomas just wanted to understand and see for himself. And so at the start of this chapter, we see, if you go back to chapter 20, verse 1, you see Mary is on her way to the tomb. Jesus has been placed in a borrowed tomb. And she goes to the tomb to see Jesus. And when she gets there, she discovers that her Lord and Savior is not there. And so she runs and tells two of the other apostles, if you keep tracking down this chapter, she runs and tells two other disciples they've taken the body. The text says that these two disciples run to the tomb. They hurry to the scene of the so-called crime. And when they get to the empty tomb, something miraculous happens. The text says that one of them peeped in the tomb out of disbelief and uncertainty. The text says that he looks in the tomb and it's true that Jesus is not there. The text goes on to say that the second disciple looked in the tomb. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in," and please underline this. The first disciple, he went in and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said that Jesus must rise from the dead. And I like what the text says afterwards. Because they saw and they believed, the text says that they went home. They were convinced that this clue that Jesus had sent them, because the way that the clothing was arranged in the tomb was a clue that Jesus, that they didn't steal him. It was a clue that he got up. And only the disciples, because Jesus had prepared them for this time, so they understood that, man, what he said came to pass. But then you continue to track on in this story, and here we find Mary still at the tomb, crying. Because she loved Jesus. The text says that she heard a voice, and the voice asked her, "What's wrong?" And she thought it was a gardener. But when she turned, the text says that Jesus, in the voice that only a close friend can call your name, the text says that he called her name, Mary. And she recognized the voice to be the voice of Jesus. The text goes on to say that Jesus told her, he says, "Go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary found the disciples and told them, please underline this, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. And now, as we come to verse 19, we come to the circumference of our text that we started out with. It says in verse 19, it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. So what we must understand from this is that the disciples had spent some years following Jesus all across the countryside. They've been with Jesus and they've been with him as he's done miraculous things. But now Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has died a horrific death. And now the disciples are fearful for their life. They're so fearful, in fact, that they lock themselves behind closed doors. Because they don't know what the climate is. They just saw Jesus being killed and crucified and put into a borrowed tomb. And here it is now, they don't know what to do. Some of us, when we find ourselves in dark, deep situations where we don't know what we do, the first thing that we tend to sometimes do is we tend to lock ourselves away. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to see anybody. My world has been turned upside down. Have you ever had your world turned upside down? Have it turned upside down so much so that you don't know what to do? And so they lock themselves behind closed doors. But I love what this text says. It says, suddenly, Can you just, in your sanctified imagination, can you just kind of put yourself back there? Here you are, locked behind closed doors, and suddenly Jesus just shows up. Huh? The text don't say that he knocked on the door and that they let Jesus in. The text doesn't say that he hollered out, "Hey, I'm out here. Somebody, can you open up the door?" No, the text says suddenly Jesus just stepped in. Has Jesus ever just stepped into a situation that you thought was uncomfortable, that you didn't see no way out of? That's the kind of Jesus that we serve. That's who we are connected to, that he can suddenly just show up at any time. Here it is. He says, Jesus suddenly was standing there among them. And I like what Jesus says. He says, "Peace be with you." I know you're feeling unsettled right now. I know that your world has been upside down, but Jesus, catch this, comforted them with a word, and the word was, "Peace be with you." Have you ever needed Jesus to just speak a word of peace in your life? As I get older, I'm telling you, I don't want gifts for Christmas and all of that. Sometimes I just want peace. Anybody here at that point, like, man, I got enough stuff. Gee, I just need the peace of God to just surround me right now. But here's the thing I like about this text. The text says that Jesus not only comforted them with a word, but here it is. It says he showed them the wounds in his hand. And the text says he showed them the piercing in his side. Isn't that just like Jesus to come in and comfort you? He can comfort you by speaking it, but he can also show you. And I Jesus comforted them in this uncomfortable situation. Not only with a word, but he showed them the wounds. And the text says, please underline this, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. They saw the Lord. So far we have Mary said, "I saw the Lord." The disciples said, "We saw the Lord." But let's keep going. But not only did he comfort them and bring them joy, the text says that he gave them an assignment. Look at verse 21. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." Jesus showed up and put them on assignment. He says, you have seen something that very few people will ever get a chance to see in their entire life. And this is not just for you, this is for the whole world. So I need you to go out and tell the world that I did something that no other person on that has walked the face of this earth has ever did before and won't ever do again. I raised myself from the dead. I defeated. I defeated death. I want you to run tell that. I want you to run tell that I am the only person that have been in the grave and got myself up, dusted myself off, folded up the garments that I was in, placed them on the side, and walked out of the tomb. Can I give you something to take home with? So Muhammad was never able to. Muhammad is still in the grave. Confucius is still in the grave. The only one that's not still in the grave is Jesus of Nazareth. That one that they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That Jesus lifted himself up, dusted himself off, and strutted out the grave. I'm telling you, in my sanctified, warped imagination, I could just see Jesus just strutting out of the grave. I mean, just strutting out of the tomb like, yep, yeah, I'm Jesus, and you're not. So he sent them on assignment, but this is what I like about Jesus, is that he never sends us anywhere alone. Verse 22 says this, it says, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this today? Jesus understood the assignment. Jesus understood the assignment and what he had given his disciples to do, that they couldn't do it on their own, that they needed some help. And just like when he breathed life into Adam, he breathed life into his disciples. And so Jesus commissioned his disciples. Jesus comforts his disciples. He sends them out with the Holy Spirit. They have been commissioned to go tell the world. And here's what I want you to understand. This is the reason why we read our mission statement every Sunday. Why? Because we are co-missioned with God. We are on mission with Jesus Christ. We are co-mission to go into the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you must understand that. But then look at verse 24. This is where I want to hang my hat today. So let me just set the stage. Everybody has seen Jesus. Mary has seen him. Two of the other disciples, they saw that he got up, and they didn't physically see him this time. But then when they were locked behind closed doors, they saw him. Look at verse 24. It says, one of the 12 disciples named Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. I'm going to just let that sink in for a minute. Thomas was not there when Jesus walked into this room suddenly. Thomas was not there when Mary had an encounter with Jesus. Thomas was not there when Jesus commission them and breathe the Holy Spirit into them, the text says that Thomas was not there. Have you ever felt like that you missed out? As believers, I believe sometimes we can suffer from fear of missing out. Have you ever felt like God is blessing everybody else except you? Have you ever felt like God, you didn't bless them with another car? God, you healed their son? God, you saved this marriage? Here I am. God, I've been serving. I've been sowing. I've been with you all this time. Have you ever felt like you missed Jesus? The text says that Thomas was not there when the others came. Catch this. Verse 25 says this. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." Have you ever found yourself having to be, happily displeased that God has blessed someone else? Have you ever had to like put on a smile, like, "Oh, that is so awesome that God has blessed you again. Oh, that is so good that He showed up for you again. Oh, it's so awesome that you pregnant again. So you have a boo? God has blessed you with somebody? I've been searching for years. Ain't even seen nobody. Nobody's even asked me out. But you have another one? Have you ever just found yourself trying to appear happy when somebody has seen the move of God and you weren't and you haven't? The text says, it says, they told him, "We have seen the Lord." And so Thomas replies, I believe Thomas replies just like any of us would reply if we was in that same situation. The text says that Thomas replied, "I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." Thomas is saying, "I understand that you seen him and she seen him and everybody else, but I'm telling you, I need to see him too. I need to see God move for myself." And I'm here to tell you, it's okay for you to want to see God move for you. We beat ourselves up and let others put certain stigmas on us because we want to see God move. Have you ever said, I'll just say this for me. There are certain situations that I find myself in, like I'll give you one. There used to be certain people that I would not forgive. I used to say this. I said, unless Jesus Christ came down and told me himself to forgive that person, I'm not going to do it. I know that you're saved, and I know that you don't have that issue. I know. I'm just being transparent. Have you ever said, unless Jesus Christ himself comes down and tell me this, I'm not going to do it. Is there? Am I the only person that's transparent enough to say, yes, that's me? Well, okay. Well, I am. Hey. Sometimes it's good to just stand alone because I have no problem. Lord, I'm confessing. Sometimes I just need you to show up just for me. God, unless you tell me personally, have you ever found yourself in a relationship with someone and that person has done you just wrong? And then they try and come back and you say, oh no, unless Jesus tell me himself, we done. We toast. And so you have to, when you look at, and that's the reason why I read this whole passage of text, because sometimes we can miss, if we don't understand all of the context, we don't always get the content correctly. And I believe that Thomas is mislabeled as being a person that's full of doubt. It's okay for us to have doubts. It's okay for us to want visual evidence. Can I help you today? That doesn't catch God off guard. That's not too hard for God. Because you have to understand Thomas's situation. Mary's seen him at the tomb. Everybody else has seen him. And then you got to understand, he's been following Jesus all this time. Thomas was with Jesus when Jesus stopped a funeral procession and raised a small child out of a casket from a funeral procession. Thomas was there. Thomas was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Thomas was there. But can I tell you this? Sometimes there's just some things that you just have to see for yourself. And nobody had ever raised themselves from the dead. Thomas is saying, I know what else I've seen, but God, Jesus, I need to see this one for myself. And what happens when it's gone from I to we? I've seen, we've seen, but what about me? And I'm telling us today, that's okay. Why? Because look at how Jesus responds. Look at verse number 26. Verse 26 says this. It says, 8 days later. 8 days later. Can I give you something real quick to put in your tool belt? 8 represents new beginnings. Somebody should got excited right there. Why does the Bible say 8? Why didn't it say 6? Why didn't it say 5? Why didn't it say 4? Here's the thing that I've come to understand about the Bible. There is nothing in here that is in here by happenstance. Everything that's in the Bible is in the Bible for a specific reason. And so Thomas is about to experience some new beginnings. Have you ever wanted to experience some new beginnings in your life? Have you ever wanted to see God move in a way that you've never seen God move before? The text says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. I love the Bible. I'm just telling you. And it says, and this time. Ooh, I could preach right there. This time, Thomas was with them. This time, Thomas was with them. Do you think that's by happenstance? Do you think that's by circumstance? Do you think Thomas's fears and Thomas's desire to want to see Jesus for himself? Do you believe that Jesus was going to leave Thomas out? What this is really a picture of the 99 sheep that Jesus won't even forget the one. Isn't that comforting to know that even when you're standing alone, all alone, and you're feeling that you have missed out, Jesus will come for you. The text says that the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And it also says this time the doors were locked. Ooh, I'm so excited up here. If y'all could just see what I see in this text. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before. Suddenly, as before. Here it is again. Locked behind closed doors. Still full of fear. Don't know what's going to happen to him. This time Thomas is there. Jesus being who he is, the loving God that he is, that will not leave one of us behind, that is concerned about your uncertainties, that are concerned about your frailties, that knows every hurt and pain that you are going through, who is a God of just an amazing God, a God who knows how to show up and show out at the same time. And the text says, suddenly he steps into the same situation again. Have you ever asked God, God, can you do it again? God, will you do it again for me? God, I know what you've done for others, but God, will you do it for me? God, I'm your servant. God, I love you just as much as all of the others, but God, will you do it for me? God, will you show up again for me? If I find myself, God, in the same situation that other people have found themselves, God, will you do for me what you do for them? The Bible says it like this, that God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith, amen? God will show up and do it the same way at the same time just for you. Somebody ought to shout amen. You see, I believe sometimes we have our God in a box. I keep reiterating this point because I feel it in. Do we really believe this Bible? Are these just some good stories to just read? Is this just good for our moral compass? But do we really believe this Bible? The text says that suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. And not only did he show up the same way, in the same situation, but he used the same word, peace be with you. And he says, verse number 27 says this. It says, then he said to Thomas, Thomas, I love you so much. He said, Thomas, put your finger right here. Thomas, I know that you want to see me for yourself. Thomas, I know that sometimes you just want to see for yourself. He says, Thomas, because you want to see, he said, Thomas, put your finger right here. He said, Thomas, because you said that unless I put my finger in his side and unless I put my fingers in the wounds from the nail, he said, Thomas, put your fingers in the wounds. Because you said, Thomas, that is the only way that you would believe. And so here I am so that you can see for yourself. And he says to Thomas, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And look at Thomas's response. See, here's the part that we have to be careful with is when Jesus shows up. When you declare and decree that I won't believe unless I see, Thomas's humbleness broke him down. And some theologians believe that Thomas is the first person to declare out loud the divinity of Jesus Christ. Look at Thomas' response. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. When Jesus shows up, are you going to declare him your Lord and God? Because that's a statement of faith. That's a statement of surrender. That's a statement of, God, if you don't do anything else, God, you've done enough for me. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. I like Jesus' response afterwards. Jesus said, then Jesus told him, he says, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. But blessed are those who believe without seeing me.
As I continue to read over that, I just kept reading that last sentence, that last statement of Jesus. And he says, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. And I kept asking this question, who is Jesus talking about? Who is he talking about? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. And when you dig down into that, it's not that God is chastising Thomas for wanting to see him. What Jesus is saying is that Thomas, there's going to be some people that won't get a chance to see me like you see me. They won't get a chance to put their fingers in my side. They won't get a chance to put their fingers in the wounds of my hand. But blessed are those who can believe and won't even get a chance to physically see me. That should be good news for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have enough faith that we can't even touch him, but the next time we see him, he's going to come back for us. And for us to have that kind of faith to understand that Jesus rose from the dead, picked himself up. We don't physically see it, but because of our interaction, but because God has moved on our hearts and we have enough faith to believe it, Jesus says that we are blessed. That should be good news, that is that you have enough faith and belief that you can believe Jesus Christ for your eternal security. That's amazing. And that's why Jesus says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. And so, as I close, I just hope and pray that I was able to communicate during this series on Help My Unbelief. I really hope that I was able to communicate to you that it's okay to doubt. It's okay to have weakness in your faith. And it's okay to want to see for yourself. That it doesn't catch God off guard. It's not too hard for him. That he loves you enough that he will respond to all of your unmet expectations, to all of your fears, all of your unbeliefs. Jesus can respond. And so I know that some of us beat ourselves up when we do have those times of unbelief. We beat ourselves up that we're not this super Christian. We try to hide behind the facade of having it all together. And so what I want to admonish you to do is, in your time of prayer, just come clean. Let God know. God, I'm weak in my faith right now. I know that you can. I know that you're able. But God, I struggle with sometimes, will you do it for me? God, will you do this thing for me? I hope I've been able to communicate that. Give you confidence and assure you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. God won't ostracize you. This church will not ostracize you. And we're going to rally around each other in those times of unbelief and weakness and faith and our doubts. And we're going to encourage one another. Because when you peel back the veil on all of us are struggling in some shape, form, or fashion with some kind of unbelief. And so I just want to pray for us today. And before I do, I want to let you know this. As I was studying this text about Thomas, and this is why I say that Thomas was mislabeled. After Thomas's encounter with Jesus, do you know that Thomas went on to evangelize India? That he's now referred to as Saint Thomas. That he's celebrated throughout India because after his encounter with Jesus Christ, he he was on fire and went and evangelized India. And so what that tells me is it's okay to want to see for yourself, but when you've seen God move, it's time to go tell someone else. Amen. It's time to be a witness for someone else. And so I just pray that this sermon series has touched your heart in some shape, form, or fashion. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, because you meet us, God, right where we are, God. God, as we sung today, God, you will never let us down. God, if it's unbelief, if it's weakness in faith, if it's unmet expectations, if it's doubts, God, you won't leave me there. But God, the only requirement is that we bring it to you. And so, God, I pray, God, that we as a fellowship of believers, God, that we know, God, that we could come to you humbly, God, and confess our weaknesses. God, I know that you, as you've shown us throughout the Bible, God, you meet us right where we are. And you don't punish us, God. You don't beat us up, God. But God, you wrap your arms around us, God, in those times, God, and you assure us, God, that you are with us. And so, God, I pray, God, that we find ourselves coming before you, crying out, help us, God. Help me, God, in my unbelief. And God, I thank you that when you do come to our rescue, God, that we do like Thomas did, God, and we set an area, we set a territory, we set a city, we set a neighborhood, we set a community, God, on fire, God, because God, you are our Lord and our God, and we will confess it. We will declare it to everybody who's within earshot, God. God, because we know that you are amazing, God. And God, we will share how amazing you are with others. And so, God, we just thank you, just who you are. Thank you, God, for whose we are. We belong to you. God, I just thank you. In Jesus' name.